Hey,
you know what? That reminds me. We don't have, we have a bye, but we don't really have a hi.
Hi.
Right?
Well, why don't we do a hi?
Should we start doing that?
Should we do hi.
Hello.
Hello.
We need an opening.
Hello.
Maybe we should start doing that.
All right, we'll do
that. Because I'm like, hello, have you seen the prices?
Hello. You know what
I mean? I can hear the listeners.
Welcome to SmartList.
Smart.
Oh my God. Most meek laugh you can do, Will. Go ahead. Okay, Sean, meek laugh.
Yeah.
Don't, I can't just blow your nose. We're recording.
I just sneezed.
That, talk about, wait, I didn't say do the most meek nose blowing you can do.
That was.
You nailed it.
Yeah, I sneezed right before I came
but
out.
But how about every time you have like a slight cough or sneeze, how about every time you sneeze in public? Now,
anybody freaks out. Everybody freaks
out. They look at you like, what's your problem? Why are you even out of the house? I'm like, well,
they look at you like you're a war criminal. You're like, what the
But I guess
fuck?
I'm guilty of that too.
I know.
If somebody coughs more than once, right? If they cough twice, I'm like, I try to get eye contact with them. Like, are you okay? Is this something I need to worry about? Or
I still get surprised at the people who cough and don't, especially after everything we've been through, who still just cover your mouth. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just into the shirt. I used to think into the shirt was super gross, but you know what? It's a nice gesture.
It'll leave a spot, but it's better than getting someone sick.
Well, it depends on the shirt, right?
And the blood content in your cough.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you mean a spot?
I had a friend over last night that he was bleeding. He was like congested. And I'm like, "What? Why did you come over?" He's like, I'm not sick.
Yeah. And look, you woke up blowing your nose.
I just had a sneeze.
Was it at least worth it, Sean? You old war horse. What was
Scotty
his name?
Was out. That's stupid.
So what dumb.
We missed you all weekend.
I know. Did you go Sunday?
Yeah, we went Sunday.
I didn't go Sunday because granddad pulled his back.
He pulled his back. You know. Everybody was calling into question whether everybody kept going. Yeah, Jason pulled his back. Like,
no, it's not great. I was, I'm ashamed to say it is a golf injury. I was simply leaning over to address the ball about to swing, not even swinging, and it just slid out. Yeah.
That's painful.
But then Dion Phaneuf, our incredible friend,
we love Dion
golfer, NHL star, gave me some of his CBD cream.
I use that.
Let's plug it right now.
It's Canny, right? Canny Ease or Canny something?
Get it right, because you're plugging Dion's.
Damn it. Canny 1200.
I think it's called Canny Golf.
Can I 1200?
Can he not pull his back out over 50? I mean,
I'm going to get the right word there, the right title, and we're going to plug it properly.
Do you think that do you think the fact that you were just addressing the ball, obviously you're brittle and you have no nutrients in your body, do you think that that is of concern to you? Are you worried about snapping some of your limbs at any point? Because, I mean, you have, there's literally nothing holding you together anymore.
Right. Just
it's
tape.
Not true. I wish I was as thin as you think I am.
We saw a guy.
As thin as I should be for the lack of food I'm eating.
Sean, do you remember this? About a year ago, we were playing with Chuck Day and McElhinney and those guys up there in the valley. And there's a guy on this other hole. I don't know, maybe 92, 93. And he was just, God bless him, he's making his way around this guy, this old timer. And he shuffled up to the ball and he was leaning over. And I just look over and I point and Jason just goes, "That's not me, motherfucker." I go, "Yeah, it is. That's you."
I would have
that's
thought it was you.
That's you now. That's
Jason, you are so thin. What are you talking about?
I am so not. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I'm 70 pounds.
You're very thin.
Yeah. No, I just don't have any muscle mass because I'm not out there. I'm not like blasting backs and buys on Tuesdays and Thursdays, pushing weight, you fucking jarhead.
Why don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, lifting weight. Yeah, yeah, moving weight. There's no science that says it's good for you as you get older. Oh, hang on a second. Look it up.
Yeah, you're right.
By the way, here's an update on the sweaters. I talked to Alex, And
wait, we're moving on to sweaters.
Well, remember we talked about my mom knitting sweaters for you guys.
And so I guess
how does that got to do with pushing weight?
We're just talking about getting older, because here you'll hear why. Oh, okay. And she says, okay, well, listen, I'm going to need, she texts me out of the blue, as she does, just apropos of nothing. I'm going to need sizes and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to guess that Sean is a little slighter, a little slimmer than Jason.
Oh, God, no.
You know, she just mixed up the names. That's all. That's all.
And it's just that, like, Sean looks slimmer. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, you are, and I will go on record saying you're very skinny and stuff, but you're never going to lose that look. You have the look.
You're so right. That's the problem. I wasn't born with a beautifully angled face like you, with great bone structure and a strong superhero chin. I am doughy. I am round. I came out puffy. Okay.
No, you didn't. You didn't. You both have chiseled, good-looking faces.
You don't.
Damn on-camera job.
By the way, you want to talk about a chiseled, good-looking face? Here we go.
Uh-oh,
with the segue.
Nice.
This is the segue of all segues.
Beautiful. That's amazing.
Let me tell you something, guest. You better not look puffy after that intro. Check your lighting right now.
Don't worry. He won't. I've never seen him look puffy, and I've never seen him look bad. It's impossible for him. And he is... just and he's maintained it for so long, which is really admirable. On top of which, the really most admirable thing about him is that how well he's maintained a career that has spanned decades.
What?
For decades, this guy has been at the top of the list. It is unbelievable.
We knew
when we were
kids.
We're
talking about angular fish.
Again, we know him, so I can't. I got to be really careful because I just want to get a little bit out before
Pattinson.
You guys start. Before you start guessing, you don't know Robert Pattinson, and he doesn't want to know
such
you.
An angular face.
I know, but he has no interest in seeing you. But this guy, even Robert Pattinson looks up to this guy.
Willem Dafoe.
This guy has done everything. He's done the top of the game
go
in
with
film. And television, he's done some of the most iconic films, some of the most iconic television. He's been nominated for 2 Emmys, 6 Golden Globes, 4 SAG Awards, which he's won 2. He's starred in so many 80s classics. He was part of what was then known as...
Here we go.
The Brat Pack. He's been in St. Elmo's Fire, About Last Night, The
Outsiders,
Robert
Lowe?
West
Robert
Wing,
Lowe.
Parks and Recreation. It's our friend,
Robert Lowe.
Now that is a beautiful man.
Wait a minute. Why are you on set right now? He's in a cop
Listener,
uniform.
He's got a cop uniform on.
Yeah,
it's a fireman's uniform. Yes.
It's a fireman.
Sorry.
I told the whole crew.
Yeah.
I said, I got to go see my boys. I got to go see. Yeah. See my guy.
This is so lovely.
He's on the set of 911 Lone Star, which is the show that he stars in, and he produces in your fourth season. You're shooting your fifth season, maybe?
We are almost done with season 4.
Season 4. Unbelievable.
I see clips of that show, and I'm tired looking at it. Like, I guess it looks like
15-hour
days.
Try watching a full episode, you rude bastard.
What?
Try watching a full episode, not the clips.
Yeah, wait, watch the episodes. Don't watch
Sean.
The clips. The clips.
No,
don't
like
help.
The promos. I mean, the promos. And I look and I see your face, and I'm like, God, Rob just finished a 15-hour day on that episode. Like, it just looks so like.
Do you sleep in olive oil, Rob? Is there a mattress that's got a zip-in olive oil pouch that you sleep
in?
I know.
Look at the best skin in the world.
I'm an Olympic sleeper. We've talked about. I get a lot of sleep. I have shame around how much I sleep. Because it makes me seem like
so you still sleep like you're a teenager.
Yes.
How many hours is that?
What time are you in the rack every night, Rob?
Well, today I had to be in the car at 5:15 in the morning.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Now, but as you know, I live in Santa Barbara, I'm lucky enough to be driven, so I can sleep in the car. So I get an extra hour and a half in the car, but I was in bed at 9:30 last night.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you're up at, so what time are you getting up for a 5:15 get in the car?
5:14.
Truly?
5:14. Because I don't really want to.
Well, now you're going to get my typical morning questions now. And I'm going to try to keep this clean.
Oh, boy,
but,
here he goes.
Well, but hang on now. Why are you leaving the house without a shower or without emptying yourself? You're doing that in your trailer? All of that?
I don't do the morning shower. I do the nighttime shower.
Nice.
Yeah, I get that.
I do the nighttime
so
shower.
So then what do you do about your bed head then? You let the people in the makeup hair trailer do all that?
That's what the professionals are for.
Isn't it nice to take a hold it, Sean. You could save yourself you could save yourself an hour if you don't do makeup and you do your own hair before you leave the house.
How does it save me an hour? That costs me an hour. That means I have to wake up earlier.
Yeah, that's true. God, that's great math.
God,
isn't it nice to take a shower at night?
Yeah.
It makes you feel like a kid. I sometimes take a shower, put my pajamas on, watch TV, and then you go straight to bed. You brush your teeth and go to bed.
Oh, yeah. Now, I look forward to going to sleep. I'm like,
I love that.
Yum, yum. Yeah.
Now, Rob, you know, you're an incredibly talented actor. You can't get this far without being a really good actor. Did it ever bother you that, like, it seems like the only people that get real good accolades as an actor are those that look like character actors. You don't. You look like a leading man. Was it ever frustrating to you that you didn't get the character roles because you were born with leading man looks?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that. And I do feel like I'm a character actor trapped in a leading man's body.
Well, look at Austin Powers. You were hysterical in Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
It's a long list.
And when I get to... You know, I'm Johnny Depp's made a career of not, you know, he's so handsome, but he always wears prosthetics and stuff. And so he gets to do these insane characters. And I every time I've been able to do that, I've found it very freeing. But yeah.
Let's talk about that. Cause your trajectory has been, it's so hard. I mean, everybody's got their own sort of path that they have, but yours has gone through so many different areas. A lot of people have peaks and valleys. You haven't even had any valleys. It's been sort of like from peak to peak, and you've just kind of jumped. You started in, and I mentioned sort of the Brat Pack, but you started in, was The Outsiders your first big film?
Was my first movie, period. I mean, I...
Okay, so yeah. Talk about that. Talk about that process, crazy. How you got it and how it came about and what it was like. I mean, Jesus.
I wish you guys had been, you know, in that mix. You would have... It was an incredible thing. And all of us who went through it are like bonded, like band of brothers, because Coppola put us through such an arduous, insane, and I think actually illegal Screen Actors Guild-wise... type of boot camp.
Really?
Went on for months and months, mixing and matching. And you'd go into the soundstage and there'd be like Mickey Rourke with roller skates on, stinking like an animal and and being treated like he was the Marlon Brando reincarnated. And then you'd have Scott Baio coming in a limousine and telling Francis he had to get back to his show. And Francis going, "What show?" And he goes, "Happy Days." And Francis going, "What's that?"
Oh, my God.
And then you'd have like Ricky Schroeder and, Dennis Quaid. And I mean, anybody and everybody.
So he was doing like mixing and matching, or were these like kind of forced bonding kind of chemistry reads?
The forced bonding came later, but these were mix and matches with everybody present. Got so it. You showed up, everybody showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning and you left at, 7 o'clock at night, and you just sat on the floor and he would go, "Okay, I want to see Dennis Quaid with Henry Thomas and Ricky Schroeder and, whatever."
Wow.
That's wild.
Wow. What was the name of your character again? It wasn't...
Soda Pop.
Soda Pop.
Yes.
Soda Pop.
You know what's really cool about The Outsiders is it's part of the seventh grade curriculum of almost every school in the country. So every year there's a new group of seventh graders who get introduced to not only to The Outsiders, but Soda Pop Curtis. Yay. So that's super cool.
And look at you now, from Soda Pop to cop.
I literally just had a guy send me a text this morning and he said, "Stay gold, Pony Boy." Aww, he literally said that on a text this morning. From Harry Chung, Will.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I like Harry. I was about to lay into whoever did it, but I like Harry a lot. He's a friend.
Harry's a good man.
He's a good man.
I remember when you were in Contact. I remember when you were in Contact, and it was like, that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, I love
and,
it.
And I was like, and you showed up on screen. I was like, wait, that's Rob Lowe. I was like, I don't know, 22 years old when it came out or something. And I was like, wait, Rob Lowe is in this movie. That's so crazy and amazing. Like, you like, to Will's point, you would take no peak, just all peaks, right? No valleys. And you would appear, even if it was the smallest role or a leading role or whatever, they were always seems, at, the, at least the perception was, that they were all super high-quality movies and TV shows.
Totally. And by the way, sometimes with Sean, Rob, as you know, sometimes it's like having like a kid come in, because he just goes, I remember when you were in Contact. And you're like, okay, man, we're not just fucking doing freeform, just whatever pops into our fucking head. Jesus Christ. I remember one time I saw you on a fucking what, man? Jesus.
Remember,
nominated. I played on a billboard once.
Nominated for his question.
Of the three of us,
skills.
He was nominated for the host of
singled
the
out.
But Rob, you
singled
go,
out.
Singled out.
Pulled
singled.
Out of the trifecta.
No, is this true? This is amazing.
No,
it's
yeah.
true. 100% true.
Yeah. The best, God, best host of a podcast. Well, there's three of us, you know. No, just yeah. Sean.
Just Sean.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't win. Okay, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Why?
Missed it.
Because they finally went and listened to it, and then they were like, oh, shit.
Not him.
You know, because, you know, but Rob, so you do, like, The Outsiders, and it is true what Sean says, and what we were saying, which is, like, you do all these things that are amazing, that each one of them have a place in, you know, culturally, a place in everybody's lives, whether it's The Outsiders and then St. Elmo's Fire,
which I just saw. I just watched it for the first time ever.
Like, are you serious?
Like, swear to God. Never saw it. I watched it like
no,
a month
ago.
No,
he's saying,
so
are
ago.
You serious that you're just interrupting and going
sorry.
With blurt?
Sorry.
So you do The Outsiders. What was film number two? After The Outsiders, which was a big sensation, and we all saw it, what was the next thing? What was the move when that came out? Was it like you had everything offered to you?
All of us got a lot of offers. I mean, I think Tom did the best with it because he followed it up with Risky Business. And that was, you know, the beginning for him. I did a movie called Class with Andrew McCarthy and Jacqueline Bisset.
Yes, you did.
I know it well.
Good for you, Rob.
Right?
Yeah, great film.
Good for you. Okay.
Class act.
I didn't know what was going on there. Okay, go ahead.
You know, no.
Yeah,
no.
You don't have to admit
to
anything on this podcast. You just keep going with your answer.
I thought...
Wait, I have something I want to say about Contact after Will gets there.
Holy fuck.
I love that he's obsessed with Contact. I had two lines in it, but it's good.
I love it. I'm obsessed with you in it, too.
Mm-hmm, clearly.
Obsessed, Will. So, I used it.
Obsessed, and it's his favorite movie of all time. Go figure. Hey, listen, Rob, so you do... God
next to Star Trek.
Sometimes it's like, you just got to breathe. They're right. You just do have to breathe.
Finish your juice box, Sean.
So Rob, so you do Class with Andy McCarthy.
Jacqueline Bisset. Yep.
Jacqueline Bisset. And then what was after?
Then it's Sean's favorite actor, Jodie Foster.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Can I say something about
Hotel
that movie
New Hampshire?
Oh.
And Hotel New Hampshire was going to be... That was the one everybody, all the young actors wanted to do because they thought it was going to be Oscar-type movie. Because in those days, however you want to call them, Brat Pack movies, teen movies, John Hughes movies, whatever you want to call them, they were like the guilty pleasure of the movie business.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, they'd be straight movies. There'd be no guilt associated with them at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, they'd be the tentpole. But in those days, it was like, Terms of Endearment's the real movie this year, okay? Right. And you're doing that trifle over here. Like that's the way it was. That's what it was. It was very segregated in that way. But Hotel New Hampshire felt like a real movie. Of course, then it came out the same weekend as Splash, and that was the end of it.
Wow!
Wasn't that a John Irving?
It's a John Irving book. Yeah, yeah. And it did. I remember when that came out. God, what was that like?
Here he goes.
83.
83.
Late 83.
Yeah.
I think.
So I know I messed up on that one. I'm really good with
really spot on.
Just inside the same decade was it's incredible.
But you did. I know that you're saying that these are the films that were the tribe, but these were the films that people were going to see, that all of us were going to see. You know, I mean, I wasn't. I wasn't a huge student of the cinema yet. And those are the movies I wanted to go see. I wanted to go see you guys in those. I wanted to go see Youngblood, by the way, as a Canadian.
Hey,
Dude, Rob, let's talk about Youngblood for a second.
Sean, quick five for us?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Rob, talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Youngblood is, I think it might be the second best hockey movie. At first is Slapshot, let's face it. Slapshot's one of the greatest movies ever made, period.
Mighty Ducks.
No, I'm throwing down. I'm sorry. I'm not having it. I'm just not having it.
I'm with Rob.
Youngblood is fun because whenever I get to go to a hockey game, people are super excited because there aren't that many hockey movies. There aren't that many. If you're a hockey fan, there aren't all that many, really.
No, dude, and we loved, as a Canadian, we loved Youngblood, and I would say this, Slapshot maybe because it came before and Paul Newman, et cetera, but they're kind of different. They fall into different categories within hockey. So it's, in terms of like a pure hockey movie that's not a comedy,
that's right.
Youngblood is the best in that regard. So they're very different. But anyway,
pure hockey, pretty if you're a young hockey player, I mean, everybody who's played hockey has worn that movie out because it's about coming up into the league. So
now,
were you
a good skater? Were you playing hockey at that time? No,
I was horrible. I mean, I could Rockefeller Center date, hold hands, skate.
Right.
And so I had. It was the first time I ever had a trainer or had to work out. Swayze was my co-star, Patrick Swayze, and we trained every day for, I want to say, almost 8 weeks, 6 hours a day. Brutal training. And I got to be pretty good on skates at that point.
Wow. And Keanu was in it too.
No way.
As the goalie. He was the goalie.
I thought he was an actual French-Canadian goalie.
He was, right? We had him on the podcast.
We just had him on the podcast.
Didn't he say that
he was a goalie?
He was a goalie, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Someone listens.
Do you remember interacting with Keanu back then and thinking like, oh, this kid's going to do something? Like, do you have anything like that?
Will, I'm telling you, and this is no slight to Keanu Reeves, who I adore, I thought he was a French-Canadian goalie.
Wow.
I thought, which probably tells you all you need to know, because I thought he was the real thing.
That's how good he is.
And we will be right back.
We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8-plus acres. I got to keep it down, because if my hens find out, they don't have 8-plus acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts. Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet. It's chewy. It's cool. It's creamy all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it. First of all, an absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
And now back to the show.
Well, on the same sort of question on Outsiders, was it clear to you, or if you had to bet on one of those horses to have the kind of longevity that you ended up having in your career, who did you think was going to be with
you? Pony Boy would be the horse I'd bet on. Pony Boy's the horse I'd bet on.
I mean, yeah. I mean, again, and it's funny because Tom has obviously become, you know, a legendary actor, and I'm not sure you would have. Back in the day, but he had such drive, he had an intensity that none of us had.
And then Taps, I think, put him over the top, right?
Taps was right before.
Taps was before.
Taps that made him. Sorry, yeah. And wow. And he was so good in that movie. I got it. Taps was my first big Hollywood premiere.
I remember that movie really knocking me out.
Yeah.
Wait, can we go movie. Like go back to,
go back to contact?
Second, like,
sure. And so on contact.
Well, no, I want, but like,
did it say, were you scared?
Did you think the aliens were really coming?
He's all hopped up on apple juice now. Go, let him go. Do it.
No. Since you brought it up, the content, but I want to go back.
Yep.
Before the Outsiders, but I just want to get this out about Contact. My favorite line in the movie.
You are the worst. Go ahead. God, only person I know get drunk on apple juice. Just swerving all over the podcast.
I am dying. I can't
pull over and take a nap.
I can't believe you're torturing Rob like this.
I wanted to get out my favorite line in Contact, mm-hmm. which was Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey.
Like McConaughey was in it?
Yeah, Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey. And I think it's like the second time they kiss in the movie. And Jodie pulls away and her first line, I'm not making this up, is, I'm so confused.
And that's your favorite. There goes your nominations okay. for this year.
So, no, Jodie Foster's a friend, and she would laugh at that. So,
fuck me.
I want to go back.
You're literally crying. Will is literally crying tears of laughter.
Hey, Rob, you've got your own podcast. You could say, you see, it's not easy, right? It's not easy at all. You got to deal with.
Fucking.
Anyway.
Fucking this is why I do mine alone.
Exactly. If you deal with the nonsense.
Thank you.
No, I wanna, love you, Sean. You know
I love you too so much. So, Robbie, before The Outsiders, we kind of just skipped over. Like, I don't know anything about your like past or your child. Like, how did you get that? Like, wasn't that such a huge deal? What were you doing before that? Like, theater or anything?
I was doing theater when I lived in Ohio. My family lived there. I was 8 years old, and I went and saw a local school production and fell in love with the kid. Like, you know, like I was like, I want to do that. And my parents were like, yeah, sure, whatever. And
so then, you had a love for it when you were super young?
Super young. It's all I ever wanted. Knew exactly what I wanted to do.
Wow. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
But you couldn't pursue it in Ohio, right? Was there a move out to Los Angeles that triggered like, okay, I actually want to do this now?
Well, my thing was I did every sort of university. There was a traveling, this thing called the Kenley Players. You got to look this up, guys. It's the best. We should make a movie about this.
The Kenley Players.
It would be summer, professional summer. It's like Waiting for Guffman, but real. John Kenley was a musical theater producer, lived as a woman in Florida during part of the year, and then was John Kenley in the Midwest. And of course, the Midwestern people were never the wiser. And he would get whoever's the hottest TV star and put them in Camelot or something like that. And then they would tour Dayton, Cincinnati, Akron, Columbus, Flint, Michigan. And you like Henry Winkler would come and just crush for 4 weeks in the summer. And you'd see like Vic Tayback in Man of La Mancha.
Yeah.
And it was the most delicious. Sandy Duncan is Peter Pan.
Of course, yes, saw it.
Jason's old co-star.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Wait, so Rob, but that's a good point. So you're doing this thing, this touring theater thing, which does sound amazing. And then what?
What'll I tell you my Paul Lynde stories?
Well, oh my God, fucking I love it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Look at you little giblet. That actually sounded more like Charles Nelson Reilly.
No, a mix of the two.
This is definitely a mix of the
two. One of my favorite Paul Lynde lines on Hollywood Squares was the host said, okay, for the center square, for the X, Paul, when a man falls over a boat, you yell, man overboard. What do you yell when a woman falls over a boat? And he goes, full speed ahead.
Wait, how did you, where did you encounter Paul Lynde, first of all, Rob?
Oh, the Kenley Players.
Not really? On Hollywood Square. Did you ever do Hollywood Squares?
No, I did the $10,000, this is how long it was, how long ago it was, the $10,000 pyramid.
Oh, wow.
Before it was 25 or 100.
Yes, yep. With Dick Clark. And that was my first trip to New York, publicity trip. And I played against Tony Danza, and I eviscerated him.
I once took Tony Danza deep at the Hollywood Stars night at Dodger
Stadium.
No
way.
Yeah, he threw a little cookie over the plate, and I took it out to right center field.
I love that.
Yep, past the sprinting Lou Ferrigno. Uh-huh, inside the park home run.
Did they, you went around the bases on a gurney or what? You probably pulled something, for
no,
sure.
At that time, I was pretty limber. You really were not.
18. I love those old... The old-time Dodger Hollywood Stars, the first one I played in, it was such a huge thrill. It was 1979, and I stepped up to the plate. And I went, now batting, Rob Lode.
No.
No way.
No way.
And it was amazing. And I think I might have got a fielder's choice to first base or whatever. Yeah. And I was like super, because in those days it was super competitive, actually. Yeah. And then at a certain point it devolved into hijinks, and then you'd get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar pitching to Billy Barty.
Right, mm-hmm. with a huge bat.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And that's what happened, and then that was my moment at the Hollywood.
I talk to Kimmel about this sometimes. Like we should approach them and ask them if they would be interested in us just sort of just like let's make this thing overhand again, you know, fast pitch baseball. Cause like now I think it's like softball. They bring in a fence and we should get it back to,
listen, I'm going
to
make that. If you're
Jason's like, how can we suck the fun back out of it? You know what I mean? Rob, do you ever hear about the golf trip we went on last year? And Jason, on our way there, there were like eight of us. And Jason's like, okay, here's the deal. Everybody has to putt everything out. We're going to keep score. It's going to be, and everybody
aggregate
like,
score
hey.
Over 4 days.
And everybody's like, hey, man, fucking relax. We haven't even started the trip yet. And he's already wanted to take the fun out. Wait, so Rob, okay, we're jumping all over the place. But what I do want to know is, when was the move? Because you did all these really successful, great movies, like I pointed out before, Samuel's Fire, About Last Night, whatever it was, Class, one of my favorites, Masquerade, which I loved as well.
Thank you, I like that one.
I thought that was a very underappreciated movie. And then all of a sudden, you made like this switch and you're like, well, I'm going to do comedies. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you became a guy who was like in every comedy in the 90s. You were in them. And it was a big, was that like a, did you make a conscious decision like, yeah, fuck it. I'm done with this. I'm now going to do that. How did that happen?
Well, I'd always loved comedy and it was my first love and was obsessed with SNL. I did, for my sixth grade talent show, I did Aykroyd's Bass-O-Matic sketch. I loved.
Right? I know that one.
Bass-O-Matic.
Oh, yeah. That's that thing where he sells the Bass-O-Matic and he talks really fast. And
how many times has this happened to you? You have a bass.
It wiggles funny. Off the hook.
Yeah. And so I hosted SNL
yeah.
and had a really good show and hit it off with Lorne. And I think Lorne saw something in me that nobody had really seen before, that I could really be funny. And then when they made Wayne's World into a movie,
yes,
I had also connected with Mike on the show, and we sort of just got each other. And so when they were making Wayne's World, they were looking for somebody who had been in a movie. I mean, Mike and Dana, literally, it was just that simple. They're like, yeah. I think Rob's been in a movie.
Sean, tell Tracy who he's talking about really quickly.
What, Mike Myers and Dana Carvey?
There we go. Thank
you. Yeah, Mike Myers and Dana Carvey.
Okay.
You have to use them sparingly, Rob. You know, you give them the easy ones like that, and then you move forward.
I got so nervous.
No, Sean.
So, go ahead, Rob. You do. So, yeah, of course. Of course it's Wayne's World. And that makes sense that you get brought in is not only had you been in a movie, you've been in a lot of big movies and you're a movie star. So for them, it's a great get. And Lauren's like, so Mike's going to write it and you're doing it, Rob. And you start tomorrow.
That's right.
And you've already said yes. And here's your wardrobe. And you've said yes. And let's go into action.
I just walked with him last week. I hadn't had a good Lorne Michaels walk through Beverly Hills in a long time, and there were so many great quotes. I really, and we have to do a coffee table book. We have to Lorne quotes.
It's they're the best. Hey, one of my favorite, and I love Lorne. I haven't done the walk with him in a few years now. Any of the walks I've done, the beach walk, I've done obviously the Beverly Hills Flats walk many times.
Wait, this is a known thing.
Yeah, he
walks with people?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like John Sykes said to me the other day, I just did a walk with Lauren, and then I saw him with Gold. I see him in Goldwyn every time he's in town, John Goldwyn. But I said, he one time said, we were talking about the South, and he just goes, it's a Mason-Dixon line thing. And I was like, oh. Which I fucking loved.
But Rob, what you did with that comedy turn, though, that I sort of felt was, I just thought it was really admirable that you were doing this. If I remember correctly, at a time when people really were still kind of taking themselves pretty seriously, and you were not.
And you were assigned a lane, too.
Yeah. And you said, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to bust out of that lane for a lane of, I am a character actor and I'm doing Shakespeare now. You actually went the opposite direction. You said, mm-hmm. I'm actually going to kind of make fun of myself a little bit here and just pull my pants down a little bit, you know, and kind of not be quite as gorgeous. You know, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool.
Well, thanks. I mean, I love it. And I still love, you know, you guys know there's nothing. Look, I'm talking to a bunch of guys who get to do, you know, get to play in both pools, and to do you know, like to do be doing Lone Star now, and then the show, which is now on Netflix, Unstable with my son, hard comedy.
Oh yeah, you
like,
told
me about
that.
That's the fun of it because they're so right. different. But when I first got into comedy, when I first got into humor, you know, when I first was, it was no one else was in that lane for sure. No yeah. one knew they yeah. weren't, and also SNL was a thing where like people. Like now everybody wants to do it, does it, doesn't think about it. But in those days, like, whoa, you better be careful. Ooh, I don't know. Like there was all that shit going on. I was like, right. be careful of what?
Right.
Yeah.
But you do Wayne's World, you do Tommy Boy, you do Austin Powers. And then you jump back and you start doing things like you do a bunch of serious dramas. You did Brothers and Sisters.
West Wing.
Well, I was going to say West Wing. Right. Sorry. Right. West Wing first. I was getting to West Wing, but West Wing first, which was a phenomenal show. Then Brothers and Sisters with Robbie Bates. Then you go and you make the jump, and then you start doing. I remember the day that Amy's like, I think Rob Lowe's going to do Parks and Rec, and I was like, what? That's amazing! And all of a sudden, like, you're on a serious drama, and then the next year you're on a sitcom, and you're on a full fledged
yeah.
comedy.
Yeah, yes. you're an agent's dream.
Yeah. Very few people get that kind of
I know,
leeway
it's so true.
And can pull it off. And nobody, and there's no part of you that's like, well, he can't do that. You're like, yeah, it's Rob Lowe. Yeah, Rob can do it. Like mm-hmm. that's fucking rad, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of. So for as much as you feel like you're like a lead, you know, a character actor trapped inside a leading man's body, you did what you wanted to do anyway, which I think is super
and
fucking.
And still
rad.
Are doing it,
and yeah. they're still doing it.
Yeah,
it's pretty rad.
Thanks.
And then now you're doing your show with Johnny, who's a great kid, whom I know a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Your son,
I mean,
John.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ,
that's so cool. I remember you saying, telling me.
Talk that. About this, dude.
It's so. It's, I mean, to be able to work with my son, I mean, it all started with him sort of trolling me on social media, like just brutalizing me. I mean, mercilessly, just for nothing other than to just do it. And it people started to notice, and it got to the point that if I was out doing an interview to promote something, whether it was, you know, the Today Show or the Ellen Show, it didn't matter what the venue was, all they really wanted to talk about was, your son just loves to make fun of you. We have some of his greatest hits here. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So it got to the point where we both were like, people really like this. I wonder, is there some there? Because I mean, literally the audience is saying, we want this. We want yeah. more of this. So we tried to figure out what it would be. And we're like, well, we're not going to do a reality show. And I don't want to do that thing of playing a heightened version of me because Larry David did it so well. It feels kind of done. Mm-hmm. So what is it? So we've distilled it down to really what it is like a larger than life, benevolent narcissist dad who may or may not be as in touch with the real world as he would like to think. Mm-hmm. And the world just applauds him. And the son who's just like, oh my God, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we built this show called Unstable, and I play a you know, like an almost like an Elon Musk tech genius who's unstable on his best days and maybe insane in his others. And John Owen is this the son who can is the only one who can speak truth to power. It's super fun.
It's called Unstable, by the way.
Yes.
Yes. It's on Netflix now.
It's on Netflix because it's streaming.
Click it.
Wow. Go ahead, Sean.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I know Tommy Boy so well, and I'm such a fan of you in it as everything, but I just love that movie. I think that movie is so beloved by so many people.
Are you guys
it's
like
amazing,
me, by the way? When two people start talking at the same time and then somebody goes, no, you go ahead. I can't help but say, like, I can't stop myself from saying it, and I tell myself not to say it.
But that's okay.
But you too, like, you just said it. It's impossible not to say, oh, no, I was just going to say. Right?
Yeah, it's like you have to say it as an acknowledgement.
But it's like yawning when someone else yawns next to you. You can't help it. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, Tommy Boy is a movie where, like, Wayne's World... We thought might do well, and Austin Powers had that thing. Tommy Boy, no one ever expected that movie ever to do. And that started with playing tennis with Lauren. I'll never forget it. Lauren, Bernie Brillstein, myself, John Goldwyn, playing doubles.
Perfect.
And Lauren saying, you know, I think there's something with you and Farley playing brothers.
Really?
And I was like, wow, that'd be great. And I never heard another thing about it. And then, you know, whatever, 6 months later, Tommy Boy morphs into what it is. But I don't think anybody thought. And that's the one that I do think has, you know, who did I just talk to? Oh, Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill, and I'm not kidding, will tell you that his favorite movie in the world is Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'd be pretty close to
over
that.
Over Goodfellas, over the Godfather. Yeah. I'm telling you, Tommy Boy. It's insane.
No, it's one of the greatest comedies of all time. I mean, it's right up there with all of the classics. It's
now, did Chris make you laugh as much offset as on camera?
He did. And when you were doing your meek laugh, I thought you were doing Farley. your meek laugh, one. Jason, because it literally is Farley. Do it. That's Farley's laugh.
He killed me. I mean, Chris Farley and Will Ferrell, there's no one funnier than those two guys to me.
No
ever,
one.
Yeah.
Ever.
We'll be right back. Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell ya, of all guests we've had on Smartless, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye, Seps. All right, back to the show.
So you do Tommy Boy, you do all this. So then you do, talk about West Wing, because West Wing was such a, I mean, that show just, still, you can watch it, you can turn it on today, and it just completely holds up. It's
isn't
so
it,
good.
Isn't it kind of making a resurgence? Like, I hear people talking about that. They now watch it a lot. Like,
yeah, because politics is such a big part of society now, more so than then, I think, right?
It's interesting about West Wing is you could it kind of comes and goes. It was people liked it when it was on, and then in the early years of Netflix, I think it was... That and Friends drove mm-hmm. Netflix.
Yep.
And then it went off the platform. And now something's going on that they're into it again. I don't know what it is, but I'm hearing a lot about it again, too. I don't know.
So, Rob, like us, you've been doing you've been in the podcast space. I like calling it the space.
it does sound
years.
Good.
It's good, right? We're in the podcast uh-huh. space. It's better than content. You should hear me go off about Rob. I hate when people go, I'm a content creator. So you just make fucking shit?
Or storyteller. If you're a storyteller or a content provider.
How have you liked doing the podcast, literally, with Rob Lowe?
I love it. I have so much fun. Because I you know, it's what you guys are. You're just riffing. You're having a good time. You're saying what's on your mind. And sometimes the most trivial stuff is the most fun to talk about. And then you get guests on and a lot of them I have known forever and ever and ever and know them in a very specific way that no one else is ever going to know them in the way that I do.
Right.
So I'm able to bring out sides of them that no one else is going to be able to do because they don't have the history that I have with them. And, you know, I had Whoopi Goldberg on recently and I was like, Whoopi, do you remember when we were on the California Toxic Clean Water Caravan with Michael J. Fox, Jane Fonda, Cher?
Just picking up trash down at Santa Monica Pier.
And we went through the McDonald's drive-thru. Do you remember? Like where else are you going to get that? You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's super fun.
Right. Rob has got so many unbelievable, you're kind of like, and we always hammer Jason, and Kimmel loves hammering Jason for stories about, you know, back when he was a teen actor and stuff. You guys have such a long history in this town of doing stuff like that, weird ass shit where you're like, yeah, I was on a 10-hour overnight train journey with LeVar Burton.
I know.
we were going to Vienna, on our way to Vienna to see the city. Like, what the fuck?
I know, and that Jason went to school with Janet Jackson is so crazy.
Jason was on the massage bus with Janet Jackson, which is like fucking crazy. That's a whole other thing, Rob. I once saw Rob on a boat in the south of France, and he comes on and goes, we just got washed out, right? You got washed out by a flooded river or some shit. Remember that?
Yeah, I survived a flash flood in France. It was like a legit, like real flash flood.
Got saved.
I would be rescued by the police. Oh, by the way, Jason, I did Jimmy's show, and there's a game that's named after you that they're now renaming after me. I just want you to know the game.
Truly?
It's the game where you put the names in the hat.
Yes.
And then you pull the hat out, and then you have to tell a story.
He pulls a name out of a hat, which is some random celebrity from years past, and you have to say whether you have a story associated with it.
Oh, I bet Rob, you must crush that.
Oh, you must crush that.
I want you and I to play that game. We should go mano a mano.
I would give anything to watch you two fucking go.
Well,
let's just play
a version right now. I'll pick a name for you and then you pick a name for me.
That's a great idea.
Okay, I'm ready.
Fun.
Okay. Telly Savalas.
I don't have any direct interaction with him, but I believe my wife that might or no. he may be her godfather, or maybe he's the godfather of Jen Aniston.
I think he's Jen's godfather, right?
I think he's Jen's godfather, okay. And yeah. Amanda and she are so close, so that's why it's.
That's yeah. pretty
so
good.
It's adjacent too, that's which good. Reminds me of my new construction company. It's called Adjacent Abatement, and what we do is we go in and we take great. Mold out this from.
Is really, this is really
all right. I got here's my one for you, Pia Zadora.
Yeah. Okay.
You have one?
So
wow.
I was making out on the Colony Beach with Gregory Peck's daughter.
Fucking oh my God.
Fucking A. Everybody shut up. Keep going, Rob. Yep.
And I hear this woman going, "That's disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself. Don't you have any common decency? There are children on this beach." Mm-hmm. And I looked up, and it was Pia Zadora.
That's great. Crazy.
But how about for bonus points, we get Gregory Peck's daughter and the Malibu Colony. I mean Rob Lowe, this man is royalty.
You're a hero.
I mean, come on,
Rob. Jesus Christ, how long have you known Downey?
Ninth grade history class.
Wow, out there in Malibu,
Santa Monica High School.
Wow.
I could see it. I remember at Christmas when I saw you at the Christmas party, and then I saw you talk to Rob and to Downey, and I was like, I could immediately see like, oh, this is deep. This is deep, long, deep, deep. You guys have that shorthand of knowing each other since being kids.
Yeah,
that was so.
And there was no one more fun to party with. Downey made me laugh harder than any human being in the world.
He's super funny.
And I just love what he's done with his life. And he's such an inspiration and a great guy. And by the way, Downey was on the bus with Cher and Whoopi Goldberg as well. I mean, we were always doing that stuff together.
My mom used to call her Hoopy.
Well, because in her defense, she couldn't see the whole word because the W was covered because that's where the I, the butt.
But couldn't see the
Rob,
W.
Do you think you'd be able to recall enough to write a satisfying book?
He's written a book.
Sorry. Let me finish.
And he's toured another, very successfully.
In a book, when I say book, I mean a follow-up.
Like a series.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
What's it called? Stories I Only Tell My Friends. Is that right?
Stories I Only Tell My Friends, and the follow-up, Love Life. So we're talking about.
So I'm talking about
three.
The third one.
The third one is called Names and Dates.
Mm-hmm.
It's just names and dates and what fucking happened. Gregory Peck's daughter, March 12th. Yeah. Isadora.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Fucking. Now, Rob, you're back. I know that your new thing is you're. Well, not new, but you're obsessed with golf. You've been playing a lot. You and I played a couple months ago with Danny Dees, by the way. Rob's good buddies with Danny.
Yeah.
Who's a friend of the program.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's the best.
He's the best. He's the world's only good finance guy. And
that's right.
How you were talking about how obsessed you are with, and your game is getting really good. You're just
getting there.
You're on it, right? Like, you're practicing a lot.
Oh, I practice all the time. I don't get to play as much because I don't have that much time, really. But I'm practicing easily 4 days a week. Like today, I'm at Fox.
Is there a goal?
Yes. Yes. My goal is to do what you did. I want to play in the AT&T. How was that for you?
That was incredible. I mean, Will almost won the damn thing, but I had a really good time myself too. And all you got to do is just put your hand up; they'll have you up there. I mean,
Rob, you're in. You're in for next year with us. Come on, it was such a blast. It was amazing. And
I'm doing it. I'm 100% doing it. It always falls right in the middle of the production schedule, but I'm actually going to ask for the time off next year, and I'm absolutely committing to doing it.
There you go.
I got to follow Tiger inside the ropes at Genesis.
Oh, wow.
And, I got to be inside the ropes with Tiger, Rory, and JT. It was insane.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Those rounds were incredible. Were you there the day when when Tiger birdied the last three holes and they all birdied 18 together?
No. That was the day after. I was there the day that he almost had the hole in one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah.
One revolution. But I also saw him, you know, the green with the sand trap in the middle of it?
Six.
Oh, God,
six.
Yeah, totally.
You saw him putt into the sand trap.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you see that, Will?
I saw Tiger Woods putt into the sand trap, which just to me was the most beautiful thing in the world because I'm like, okay, that's the greatest who ever hoisted a golf club.
Yeah. And even he can do that.
And even it was the thing was he was going to take his medicine. He was going to, you know, it's that thing we always do where we can't quite bring ourselves to take our medicine.
Yeah.
We kind of also want to do the, he kind of, and
he
and
did
I'm
get
like,
up and down before
it.
Though.
He did, but I've putted into that bunker twice.
Yep.
In my life. So
I bet you didn't make four.
Twice.
And the other thing he did that I noticed was whenever he would do something like that, he would go to another gear in whatever the next hole was. Like another gear.
I want to get Tiger on this show.
I know, it'd be great to have
me
him
too.
On.
Wild.
God, I just, Rob, so I could just listen to you talk about all your.
I know, I love it.
God, you just, everything. Whether it's his movies or his shows or his life.
By the way, Will, this is what the podcast is. I mean, because a lot of times somebody will bring up something and I'll go, that reminds me, because I do have a Telly Savalas story where I was 8 years old and Kojak was coming to Dayton, Ohio to sign autographs in the ladies' undergarments of Reich's department store.
Oh, and my God.
Is that true?
It was, absolutely true. And so I got my bus fare together.
Autographing underwear on the third floor is Telly Savalas.
Yeah, and he was probably doing a Kenley Players. It was probably Telly Savalas and, some Arthur Miller show. Mm-hmm. And I take the bus and I wait in line forever. And I bought him a sucker because I know Telly Savalas likes. Remember Kojak always had the sucker?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he always had a Charms blow pop. That was his thing. Mm-hmm. And so I bought him one and I brought it and I was going to give it to him. And it's a 3.5 hour line. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I finally get right to the front of the line and they go, "That's it. Mr. Savalas has to leave." And he fucking bails. And I'm standing there with my sucker. Mm-hmm. And I kind of look for somebody I think is important. And I go, "Excuse me, would you give Mr. Savalas my sucker?" And he goes, "Oh, kid, that's so thoughtful. I sure will." And I walk away and I'm going down the escalator. I turn around to watch and the guy throws it in the trash can.
Oh.
And
that's awful.
That actually stayed with me forever because whenever I meet someone, I'm always like, "Don't be Telly Savalas. Don't throw it in the sack. Don't be."
right.
And they give you a bag of freshly cooked homemade cookies. And you're like, "No, I'm going to eat these."
In fairness, it wasn't Telly who did it. It was a guy. It was a
It's
handler.
True. It's right. Handler. True. It wasn't Telly. He probably would have taken it.
Telly would have sucked it. No. For sure.
He probably would have. He probably would have shoved
better way to
it, thrown
that.
It at you.
Yep.
Well, I would. I want to listen. I haven't listened. I'm not really into podcasts. So
well, you make a hit podcast. You don't need to listen to another one. I get it.
No, it's a radio show. To Will, he's doing radio.
It is radio. It's Morning Zoo. I feel like it's Morning Zoo.
Drive Time.
Yeah, Drive Time. I'm just trying to copy my buddy Johnny Vaughn over there in the UK. Yeah.
And Rob, you're our helicopter pilot. How's the traffic on the 5?
Yeah.
You know, it's looking a little backed up over here as the Pullman Pass. It's taillights as far as you can see.
We got the uniform for it.
Well, Rob, let's get out again. Let's get out and play again.
Yes.
That was really fun. And
I want to be a part of that as soon as my granddad back heals up.
Yeah, that's not good, man.
No, I know.
Don't come back too soon.
I know. I got a date coming up in 2 days. I gotta.
Are you doing ice baths?
You got a date in 2 days, and Amanda's cool with that? She's just like...
She wants me to be smart and safe, and she's letting me make my own decision, which is nice, and... So
she doesn't mind that you're... Are you both dating, or is it just you?
I am icing it. That does seem to help.
Good, yeah.
I'll tell you one of the nicest things, and this is a true story. This is not a bit. I hurt my back a couple years ago now. And I texted JB. I was like, "My back really hurts." Anyway, I was at home, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in my backyard comes Jason, and he's got like a back heating thing, and like an icy hot thing, and a bunch of stuff that he brought for my back.
I just dropped it off, and then I got
just
back
dropped
in my
it
car
off.
And left.
And he came into my backyard. I was in the sauna, and he came in, and he knocked, and he's like, "I got all this stuff." I was
just
like,
"Just like a little angel."
And then got back in his car and left.
That's right.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Once
a decade.
Even a stop clock. I thought even a stop clock, you know?
Yeah.
Tells the right time twice a day. Okay, listen, Rob, we love you, man. I'm so excited about your show with John, and he's such a nice kid. Would you please say hi to him for me?
Yeah, and also say hi to Cheryl.
And to Cheryl, your lovely wife of many years.
Yeah.
So sweet. God, you guys are such nice peeps. And couldn't happen to a better
dude. I love you guys. I was so excited. You're three of my favorite, in all seriousness, three of my favorite people. I love everything about you guys. I love hanging with you. I love your work. I love your podcast. Dude, Bateman, you're making me laugh right now so hard in the fucking trailer for the Air Jordan movie.
I know.
Yeah. It's like only you can fucking steal a trailer with one line.
Yeah, I know. It's so great. It's so great.
You're nice. You're
it's
so nice.
Good. It's amazing. You're it's nice, amazing.
Man. It's amazing.
Love you, miss you, mean it.
Yeah.
Love you, miss you, mean it. Santa Barbara.
Yep.
We'll go, you know, and hang or in... But let's make it happen.
Just get fired off one of these 10,000 jobs you're doing and free some time up and let's go hang out.
I know.
All right.
It has
Stop
to be
working
the weekends.
So hard. All right.
It has to be the weekends.
Thank you, the great Rob Lowe. We love
Rob
you, buddy.
Lowe. Love you.
It's Lowe.
Your chin.
It's Lowe.
Lowe.
Thanks,
Rob Lowe.
Hi, Rob
Lowe. Don't forget,
Lowe.
Podcast, Rob Lowe, literally, wherever you get your podcast.
Literally with Rob
Listen
Lowe.
Listen to Rob's podcast. It's
Listen to
very
Rob's
good,
podcast.
Y'all.
And Unstable on Netflix. You're watching it. You're loving it. Everything Rob Lowe all the time. God
Love
bless.
You, boys.
Love you, buddy.
Thanks for doing this, Rob. Right. Bye, buddy.
Bye. Lovely man.
That Rob Lowe. Man. That Rob Lowe. He's just always been nice, always been talented, always mm-hmm. been handsome.
Yeah.
That's another guy I'd like to come back as. I think there's a long list here of guests we've had that I'd like to...
Yeah, you could talk to him for hours.
Be reincarnated.
We tried to get him on. I tried to get him on before. He was the one we had technical glitch a couple weeks ago, and we had the bell. That was Rob. Yes, and
That was Rob. Oh, I didn't know.
So I've been trying to get him on here forever, and
you know, we had a technical glitch with McConaughey way back when, right? When are you going to rebook him?
I don't know. I want to get him back on here. That was
great.
Because when we do have McConaughey on, then we can go through. Hopefully, we have the recording of.
Of me having my hissy fit?
When you had your...
Didn't I snap at him a little bit? Didn't I tell him?
You did.
Your laughing is not making things helpful, surprise guest.
And then you
Who
slammed,
is laughing?
And you slammed your laptop.
Yeah, that was so great. And then, and we can talk about contact.
And we can talk about contact. With
you know, but I was, did, it
You're
did occur to me...
You're going to fucking break me today, Sean, with the contact.
It occurred to me earlier, like, it is somewhat... It's either dangerous or good or whatever about this thing is that we do this all the time. We're always just sort of just, you know, almost every day we're picking up we're talking with one another, no matter what mood we're in. And we drag that into these interviews, these conversations for the public. And oftentimes we're doing this thing in a bad mood. And like, what if we get in a fight with one another? I mean, I know it's been tense a couple of times, but like people just get like warts and all on this. And is that smart for us to be doing that?
Why not? It's real. It's normal.
It's real, I guess. Yeah.
Also, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah. We're not going to get in a fight. Like, what's the worst we've never?
Fuck you, Sean.
Fuck you.
Don't you disagree with what I'm saying?
We've had, I think it's, I don't know. I just think, like, I really mean it when I say who cares. I mean, we might as well, right? Because it's going to be lights out at some point, and then.
Anyway, Rob Lowe, you know,
this Rob Lowe.
Hey, you know, Rob was in contact.
Rob was in, he was in contact.
He was in contact. Yeah. And by the way, he's not allergic to work. Boy, he works a lot.
By the way, just for the record, no recollection of him in contact, or Matthew McConaughey, for that matter.
Well, Matthew McConaughey and Jodie Foster were the stars.
Yeah, yeah.
But I only remember her in it. And wasn't there a kid too? No,
there are no kid.
Uh-uh. Oh, I'm conflating.
You thinking of Nell?
Another Jodie Foster vehicle. I do remember the incredible opening pullback, right from Earth,
amazing,
all the way back.
Oh, and I emailed you that one shot where she runs into the mirror.
Into the mirror. Yep. How'd they do?
Oh,
I still don't know how they did
that.
Oh, that's how they. That's the kid when she was a little kid. That's
yes, thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But wait, but in his show that he's doing now, the 911 Lone Star.
Yeah.
I thought I couldn't tell if he was a cop or a CIA or an
FBI.
All right, we'll allow.
Go high.
We'll allow. And repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it.
I love it. I love it a lot.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarv, and Bennett Barbico.
Smartless. If you like SmartLess, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time. Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.